The rain stayed with Jesse into western Pennsylvania. It had eased when he stopped on the Pennsylvania Turnpike west of Pittsburgh. He got a cheeseburger in the restaurant and a cup of coffee. Standing beside his car with one hand on the door, Jesse took off his baseball cap and turned his face up to the rain. He stood a long time letting the hard rain soak into him. He didn't know why he was doing it, and he stopped only when he became aware that other people were watching. His wet clothes were uncomfortable to drive in, and when he reached the next rest stop, he got some dry clothes out of the suitcase and changed into them in a bathroom stall. He bought a large coffee at the rest stop and back in the car added a lot of scotch to it. He sipped the laced coffee as he crossed the Delaware River north of Philadelphia and picked up the Jersey Turnpike. What confused him most was that Jennifer would neither embrace him or let him go. He was a self-reliant guy. He had spent most of his life staying inside, playing within himself. He was pretty sure he could still do that, but there had to be some sort of completion between them. Having been her lover, he was quite sure he could never be her friend and nothing more. In the early days of his dismay, he had thought maybe he could share her. He had, after all, in the last year or so of their marriage, been sharing her, involuntarily. But in a while, he understood that he could not. And so he sat one evening in their kitchen, on one of their high stools at the breakfast counter, with a United States Road Atlas, a police help wanted listing, and a bottle of scotch, and decided where he would go to look for peace. He had to work, and all he knew was cop. Of the possible jobs, the one in Paradise, Massachusetts, was the farthest away. With a lot of scotch inside him, which made him ironic rather than sad, he imagined the salt spray and the snowy streets at Christmas time, and the cheering New Englanders going steadfastly about their business, and decided to try Paradise first. Now, as he approached the George Washington Bridge, he was maybe 200 miles away from it, and he felt as remote and unconnected as if he were adrift in space. For some reason, he remembered Chicago, the march of Chicago cityscape along the lakefront. He'd arranged several job interviews at a law enforcement convention in the Palmer House, but he assumed he wasn't getting a glowing recommendation from the LAPD, and Paradise was the only one to offer him a job. The memory of the interview embarrassed him. He'd been drinking scotch in the bar downstairs, and his memory was the embarrassing memory of all drunks, he thought, the struggle to seem sober undercut by the half-suppressed knowledge that you were slurring your words. What bothered him even more was that he had needed to drink, even though he knew it would jeopardize the job. His face felt hot at the memory. But they hadn't noticed. The two interviewers, Hathaway, the selectman, and a Paradise police captain named Lou Burke, seemed oblivious of the times when he couldn't stop slushing the S's in Los Angeles. It was late afternoon. Maybe they'd had a couple before the interview themselves. They'd talked in a one-bedroom suite that Hathaway was in. The police captain had a single room down the hall. Jesse remembered the room being too hot, and he remembered that Burke hardly spoke at all and that Hathaway didn't seem to be asking the right questions. He'd had to excuse himself twice to go to the bathroom, and each time he had splashed cold water on his face from the sink. "What do you think, Jesse?" Hathaway said about 15 minutes into the interview. "About the right to keep and bear arms." "Constitution's clear on that, I think." Jesse had trouble with all the T's in Constitution. "Yes," Hathaway said. "I think so, too." He looked down at the manila folder in his lap. "We talked with your Captain Kronjager," Hathaway said. Jesse waited. Kronjager was a decent enough guy, but he believed in police work, and he might not recommend a cop who drank on duty. "He speaks very well of you, though. He said you might have been developing a drinking problem when you left." Jesse made a minimizing gesture with his right hand. "I probably went off the deep end there for a bit during the time my marriage was breaking up," Jesse said. "But I'm divorced now." He started to say "I am" and then wasn't sure he could transit between the two vowels and changed it to "I'm." Did they hear the stutter? All of us like a drink, Hathaway said. And in times of personal anguish, many of us need one. When one sees a man with your record applying for a job like this one, questions occur. I think I can speak for Lou when I say it is a relief, really, to hear that you maybe drank a little too much at a time when most of us would. I don't have a problem. Do you, Lou? Burke's heavy voice came from the shadow where he sat. No problem, Hasty. And that had been it. They had hired him on the spot and brought out a bottle and had drinks to seal the bargain. It had worked out fine. But I shouldn't have been drinking, Jesse thought as he went down the circular ramp off the bridge. Especially, I shouldn't have needed to be drinking.